good afternoon or good evening.
Good evening. Yes. First, let me thank you for your patience. As I apologized for the lateness of the bill, due to circumstances outside our control, and we heeded your advice and warning to skinny this down. I've spent the last week doing with Todd shuttle diplomacy, and think that we have skinnied it down. Hopefully, you've certainly read, spoken with, and tried to address the concerns of everyone who spoke and offered amendments or objections, and think we have gone a long way to doing that. I will get in a moment to the an amendment proposed by in an attempt to skinny it down, and working with the university to address their issue, and at the appropriate moment can turn it over to Dr. Habib Dagher if you'd like. But as if you have a piece of paper called proposed committee amendments submitted by the governor's office in front of you, it shows what we're proposing to strike, and I would just go through that and say why what was left in is in. Is that acceptable? I think that's the most efficient. Okay, we're at this point, at least for now, we're going to park the emergency preamble. We propose to leave it in, but we'll can discuss that based on your discussions here today and subsequently about that. We're happy to make some changes that have been suggested, and if you believe that it should come off, we could take it off. Part A, we will strike. A1, I'm sorry, Part A1 is going to be stricken. Part A2, we are going on page 3 now. We're going to leave the part on page 2 alone that deals with transmission. Central Maine Power testified on this, that the gives the Public Utilities Commission the ability to approve a transmission line size not only to serve current load but anticipated future growth to meet the state's offshore wind goals, if it will find that it can minimize long-term transmission costs. On page 3, we're proposing to substitute lines 9 through 24. We're proposing to strike lines 9 through 24 and give you some language which we feel is much clearer. And as we say, the intent of this is to clarify the bill's provision under which the Public Utilities Commission could order a T&D utility to build, own, and operate what has generally been, before was thought of as a generator lead line, but a transmission line that connects a offshore wind or other renewable ocean energy project to the grid. The commission could direct the utility to own and operate it if certain findings were made. One, advance the state's renewable energy goals. Second, that the generator would not otherwise be able to finance the transmission interconnection facility. And third, that the standards for public need and issuance of a certificate of public convenience and necessity have been met. So this is an exception to the general rule about financing of generator lead lines. It's to help promote renewable ocean energy projects. Okay, if we move on to section A3, on page top of page 4, section C, we are changing this language. It's the top of page 2 of your handout. This addresses the concerns that were raised by the Natural Resources Council, Conservation Law Foundation, and Environment Northeast. It makes it a little more generic, and it changes the language from replace use of oil and liquid petroleum-fueled heating systems or our vehicles to reduce our use of. So it softens the language somewhat. Okay. Section A4. I think my friends at the oil dealers will be happy. We propose to strike this section. Section A4. Section A5. In this, we're just making what I would term a fairly minor amendment to address a concern that Maine Municipal raised by changing the language slightly to just say it is the policy of the state in furtherance of our wind power goals, essentially, to encourage the attraction of appropriately sited development and take out about directing political subdivisions, agencies, and public officials to take every reasonable action, which is current law. So we are proposing to amend current law to be less directive and just state what the goal, the policy and goal is. A6 is the wind goals. We're proposing to leave those as is. A7, we are addressing concern. A7 is a policy statement of the legislature finds about it relates to tidal power, and we amended it to include wave power based on the issue expressed at the hearing from the developers of wave, and also our change also addresses a concern raised by Maine Municipal Association.
Says section A7, strike the entire section, page 4, lines 30 to 40, but A7 doesn't start until 38.
Oh, good, yeah.
So that's a typo, right?
It should be 39, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then the next page, yeah, 1 through 10. Thank you.
So we're really paragraph 3.
Yes.
Goes. Yeah, that part of it.
Yeah, and it's substituted with the one that's on your sheet.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Section A8, let me just preface this next statement. We are proposing that you strike A8, A9, and A9. However, I wanted to repeat that, one of the primary recommendations, one of the fundamental recommendations of the task force is that that we should promote the development of renewable ocean energy resources, not just to keep our lights and computers running, but to ultimately transition to a cleaner, low-carbon energy future that's not dependent on imported fossil fuels to meet our energy needs, which does mean transitioning to an energy future that includes electrification of heat and transportation. That is a fundamental vision shared, I believe, by every member of the task force. And this bill seeks to move that forward. And so while we are proposing to strike Section A8 and A9, we are going to ask you to work with us and to pursue another mechanism that will continue to advance that transition to a cleaner, low-carbon energy future that creates jobs in Maine, that reduces our greenhouse gas emissions, that makes us less dependent on volatilely priced fossil fuels. So we're proposing to take it out, but we're not. We're also going to talk about other mechanisms to advance the moving it forward. Okay, should I move on? Okay. And the members of the task force who are here, can talk about how fundamental that was to the task force and its members. Section A10, we're proposing a fairly dramatic change to. This is the RFP, competitive solicitation provision. What?
A9 out.
A9, I said it was out. Yeah. On A10, what we're proposing is two things. We heard the concerns from the representatives of the fishing industry and the and others about the need to move slow with development of commercial scale wind projects near shore. And so what we are proposing and what the university is proposing, there's also a proposal from Senator Mills, which is similar to what the university proposal looks like, is a two-part Section 10. The first part is going to be on is the bottom of page 2 of the provision we've just been the sheets we've just been working from the amendment, our amendment. Okay, and what that is continue to you task the Office of Energy Independence and Security to come back and this is we've now put the date out to 2012 to recommend to you what a terms and conditions for a competitive solicitation for renewable ocean energy should look like. And in making this recommendation, they should look at the rate impacts, reducing risk of price volatility, greenhouse gas emissions, energy independence, all the things, job creation, all those factors. So they're going to come back to you in 2 years. That's all it says about competitive solicitation generically for renewable ocean energy projects. The other section that we just handed out is from the University of Maine. You also, as I said, Senator Mills drafted another amendment, which I don't know if you have it or not, but it's fairly similar. What this does, and Habib Dagher is here, we can talk about it, is it would direct the Public Utilities Commission fairly soon to issue an RFP for a deep water offshore wind energy project. And deep water is defined in here as more than 300 feet in the Gulf of Maine, and at least 10 nautical miles from the mainland or the shore of an inhabited island. So this would allow, and up to 25 megawatts, so for a small project. This directs the commission to issue the RFP by this September and to direct the utility, like they currently have under the long-term contracting law, they can direct a utility to enter into a long-term contract of up to 20 years if certain findings are made. And it lays out the findings here in Section 1 through 4. They have to show technical and financial capacity. They have to show tangible economic benefits to the state, including that they will use local product and use local suppliers and professionals. They have to show their experience in deep water offshore wind. They have to also demonstrate a commitment to invest in deep water offshore wind energy-related manufacturing, such as component parts, turbines, blades, etc. So they have to show they're making an investment in the state of Maine. If the commission finds all that, they can direct that a contract be issued if they find that the price exceeds the market price at the time for capacity, energy, and RECs, then they can. They look and we lay out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 places to try and reduce the ratepayer impact. The first one you'll love, and you probably don't even want to mention it after the last 5 hours. But it would allow, as you predicted, everyone's going to come after that corridor money, and you were right. Okay. That was number one on the list, okay? Also looking for federal support for the project. And then, as you know, we will get submerged lands revenues from the leasing of state waters and potentially some revenues that we share with the federal government from leasing federal waters. So portion of those revenues could be used. But finally, you know, the bottom line is that this could be picked up by the rate, you know, by electric rates, but we capped it at the system benefit charge. So the ratepaying impact could be no greater than the system benefit charge in effect at the time. And then the final paragraph is the timing of it. As I said, September of this year. And the contract has to will require that the project be operational within 5 years, or the contract is essentially would not take effect. That is coming from, as I said, university, Senator Mills, and potentially others. I know it has been discussed with Senator Ray and Senator Hobbins, Representative Fitz. So, and Habib is here if you have any questions about it. But that's what is being proposed to replace what was currently A-10.
Thank you very much for your hard work, Todd.
That was just A.
Yeah, just thank you very much. I just was going to ask, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do section by section, okay? Because I just think if we wait, then we won't get to it.
Okay.
All right, so any questions from members of